The Pat Kenny Show
with Mater Private Network
on News Talk.
British Prime Minister Boris Johnson has held what has been described as fairly tough and very frustrating meetings with leaders of Northern Ireland's five biggest political parties to resolve concerns around the Northern Ireland Protocol. As fears of a UK-EU trade war continue to escalate, Johnson warned that Stormont politicians would not receive full pay if they failed to form an executive. But of course, that's the second step. The first is to nominate a speaker, and the DUP have refused to nominate a House Speaker because of their objection to the protocol, so the Assembly can't meet. I'm joined by author and journalist Susan McKay. Susan, good morning.
Good morning, Pat.
Now, when you look at the list of reactions to Boris Johnson's set of meetings, it doesn't look like anybody was happy, perhaps the happiest of the unhappy lot, the DUP.
Well, that is strange that it's actually the one thing that unites all of the parties in the North at the moment is their distrust of the British Prime Minister. And the DUP in particular have every reason to be fearful of his word, because after all, he's the man who delivered the protocol, the much hated demon protocol, to them when he used them to get the Brexit deal that he wanted. He promised them that there would be no border in the Irish Sea over his dead body. He said, would any British Prime Minister do such a thing? And then as soon as he had their votes in the bag, he promptly went ahead and did just that. So that's why Geoffrey Donaldson is saying, well, we're not doing anything until we see this legislation actually enacted. Mm. But no, none of the parties felt that they had a satisfactory meeting with him. He had put out a statement which was published in the Belfast Telegraph in advance of his meeting, which was a very, very peculiar document, which appeared to sort of weld together a whole lot of elements, each of which might appeal to an individual party, but which made no sense in terms of the others. But when it actually came to meeting them, I think that he found very unreceptive ears for the most part.
Yeah, often we don't get an insight into what goes on behind closed doors. But I think in this case, the party leaders coming out are indicating, you know, Mary Lou MacDonald says fairly tough and accuse him of placating the DUP. Colm Eastwood says it's just impossible to trust Boris Johnson. It's a very uncomfortable position. It would be for a normal British Prime Minister, but maybe water off a duck's back for Boris Johnson.
Well, I suppose the thing that you have to really consider is the fact that what interests Boris Johnson is his own internal struggles within the British Conservative Party. He doesn't like the fact that Liz Truss swept him aside and sort of played tough on the protocol and said that she was going to introduce legislation that would in fact unilaterally override the protocol. That's not actually the position that he has been taking. So he's actually fighting a rear guard leadership struggle from Liz Truss. And what goes on in Northern Ireland is not of any great interest to him. And that has been apparent from everything that he has done.
The likelihood of a trade war, I mean, it's a war that Britain can only lose, the UK can only lose because such is the imbalance. I mean, trade with Britain for each of the individual countries is actually relatively insignificant. For the UK, trade with the entire EU bloc is very significant.
Yes, I mean, it's a disaster course that the government is on, because also in the way that they're behaving in relation to the protocol, they're alienating the United States, and Brexit was sold and depends upon very strongly the prospect of having trade agreements with, in particular, the US. So it does appear to be Brexit is unravelling in a pretty catastrophic way around Johnson.
Do you remember the term cakeism that was coined, where Boris Johnson was basically wanting his cake and eating it? The whole idea that business as usual with the EU, but they'd be outside the EU because of Brexit. And that was never really a possibility, but it seems to be one that he's reigniting again, that possibility, holding out that they can have a great trade deal with the EU, and they can also reaffirm Brexit. It's just not on.
No, it's not. And I mean, I think that it was interesting to see Theresa May becoming briefly very popular in Ireland last week when she pointed out that that was, in fact, the kind of Brexit that she had proposed. Not that anybody believes that it would have been as before. I mean, obviously, a majority of people in Northern Ireland voted to remain in the EU. But Theresa May's deal definitely was a softer Brexit, and it would have avoided the protocol issue because it didn't require there to be a hard border in Ireland or a border in the Irish Sea. But Johnson rejected that because he wanted to hold on to the hardline elements within his own party on that.
Now, the legislation may well be announced today, which would be altering the protocol. But of course, that legislation would have to get through the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And, you know, if the Lords frustrated, then that is another delay. So is this part of Boris Johnson's bluff, you know, publish robust legislation to get everyone back on side? And then, of course, it will be abandoned as needs must.
Well, that has been his pattern. You know, he did describe Brexit as an oven-ready deal. He negotiated the protocol line by line and then claims that it's doing damage to the peace process in Northern Ireland. I mean, the worst aspect of this is that the impasse that it has created in the north and the political instability and the likelihood of endless delays to reinstating the Assembly because of the fact of the position that the DUP is taking. So Northern Ireland is once again becoming collateral damage in internal British political strife.
Now, there are obviously difficulties in the administration of elements of the protocol. The EU has tried to resolve some of them and has promised more talks to try to resolve them. But the tragedy, I suppose, is that there's nobody in certainly in the island of Britain who seems to be pushing the notion that, you know, you people in Northern Ireland, you lucky so-and-sos, access to the UK market, access to the EU market unhindered. We'd love a bit of that, but we don't have it. But there's no one in the political hierarchy actually pointing that out.
No, they pointed it out at the very beginning when they were selling the Brexit deal and trying to persuade the DUP that they needn't have any worries about it. I mean, Ben Habib, for example, who's a leading Brexit person, said that, you know, it would turn Northern Ireland into a tiger economy and so on. And yet it now suits him to hang around on the fringes of these anti-protocol demos when he's saying that it's a threat to the union and to the existential future of Northern Ireland. So it's just very, very obvious that Northern Ireland is being played and that there are no real concerns. All of the main business organisations in the north have been talking in the last few days about how, although many of them were anti-Brexit, they have learned to live with the protocol, and in fact it is kind of working for Northern Ireland. The worst impacts of Brexit have been mitigated in Northern Ireland by the existence of the protocol, because it gives Northern Ireland access to both the British market and the EU market. But that's what hardline unionists don't like, because they don't want an increase of trade between Northern Ireland and Southern Ireland. They see that as being too much looking like a united Ireland for their liking.
And that brings me, Susan, to a final point, and it's about the internal politics of Sinn Féin, I suppose. And that's Mary Lou MacDonald as president of Sinn Féin, you know, being the head of delegation, if you like, meeting Boris Johnson. And whether, you know, I don't know whether Michelle O'Neill feels a bit sidelined by this process. After all, she would be the First Minister designate. But also whether that would be another red rag to the unionist bull, that you have a what is acknowledged to be a Southern Irish politician kind of leading the charge for Sinn Féin in the north.
Well, of course, it's one of the things that hardline unionists dislike, but very obviously it's a strategy by Sinn Féin that they will present Michelle O'Neill and the party president together as an all-Ireland party. You know, they have been doing that for quite some time now, and there isn't any sign that it's something that makes Michelle O'Neill feel uncomfortable or sidelined. But the real issue, I think, for the DUP at the moment is that they don't want to see Michelle O'Neill as First Minister, and they feel humiliated by the idea of going into power in Stormont in a situation where they are only the second largest party now compared with Sinn Féin. So there's a lot of stuff going on about the protocol talk going on about the protocol that isn't really about the protocol at all. And really, Mary Lou McDonald's presence in Northern Ireland, yes, it annoys unionists, but they're well used to it. She's been doing this for quite some time now, and it's clearly Sinn Féin's right to assert that they are an all-Ireland party.
Journalist and author Susan McKay, thank you very much, Susan, for joining us.
The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk. The Pat Kenny Show
with Matter Private Network.
Weekdays at 9 a.m. on News Talk.